Welcome to Your Birth Partners. We are here to break down barriers and cultivate community as we discuss issues that impact pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. We welcome you, no matter what your background is, and are so excited to learn together. Today, we are celebrating National Midwifery Week. We had the chance to bring together some of the wonderful midwives who work here with Your Birth Partners to spread more information, more awareness, and to share their experiences about what it means to be a midwife now in the year 2020 in the U.S. So you'll learn a little bit more about their experiences, how they chose their path into midwifery, what they wish they'd learned in school and they didn't, what their ways are to cope with difficult births, and they're going to touch on the ways that they really embody the slogan for this year's National Midwifery Week is Midwives for Equity. And I am so honored to share this conversation with you because it reflects so much of what we hope to see in the future as midwifery continues to grow to be more inclusive, more accepting of all people, regardless of gender, of race, of socioeconomic status, of any of the things that have held us back and that have stopped people from having equity in their healthcare and in their birth care. Everyone deserves a midwife. We hope you gain greater understanding about what's brought them into this work and that you feel inspired as you go on in your own. On to the show. So yay. So I am just so excited to have some of my favorite midwives here to chat about just everything that is going on for you all. And then, you know, I feel like I'm always celebrating National Midwifery Time, but especially here during the National Midwifery Week, just to kind of check in with you all and talk about midwifery. We had a couple questions that came in earlier in the week that people wanted to kind of address, and then whatever else you guys want to kind of throw out there, and we'll see if anyone else who joins us has any other questions. So welcome, welcome. If you guys just want to go around and say who you are, what your shtick is for anyone who's listening who doesn't know.
I am Angela Mike. I am a certified nurse midwife. I also hold a doctorate in nursing practice. I have been in women's health for almost 15 years. I am currently here in the Las Vegas area, working in a private practice where I do outpatient only women's health care right now. Four children, a husband, and yeah, that's about it.
I'll go next. I'm Meredith Strayhorn. I am a student midwife and a birth doula. I just started school in August, and so newer to the game, but absolutely have been loving my experience so far. I am in Northern Kentucky, right near Cincinnati. I have been in birth work for about 3 years now, but I have loved all things birth for as long as I can remember. So I'm really glad to be here.
I'm Ray Racklin. I'm a certified professional midwife, a licensed midwife, and a lactation counselor based in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I have my own home birth practice, Refuge Midwifery, and I kind of serve Philly, South Jersey, kind of Southeast Pennsylvania suburbs. And I also IUI and queer fertility care and educating providers is also a really big part of my practice. And my pronouns are she and they.
Okay, thank you. So we'll kick off with the first question is just kind of, what does midwifery mean to you? And you can answer that in any way that it's kind of fits for you. And I think there's a couple of different kind of like the definitions we all like hear and think of all the time. But I've seen a lot of posts this week that people have really been diving into, like, you know, obviously midwifery is more than like just, you know, birth and all these things. So I'd love for you to share with us what midwifery means to you.
Midwifery is about being present, listening to women, listening to families. It's about choice. It is about validation, and it is about support and empowerment. My primary purpose for going into midwifery was because I wanted to protect and serve women in a way that empowered them enough to take charge over their personal health care.
Ditto. For me, midwifery is about the restoration of choice. Mm-hmm. And it's the restoration of choice through slower care, through relationship-based care, through building trust with the families that we serve, listening to them, believing them, and then working in partnership to help have healthy outcomes and also to guide people through unexpected scenarios in their reproductive lifetimes. And I started attending births 11 years ago as a doula and ultimately decided I needed to become a midwife and I needed to become a home birth midwife because what I saw in the hospitals I was attending births in New York City was the absence of choice and agency. And when I saw my first home birth and I saw what was possible and what birth could look like when pregnant people weren't futzed with and didn't have to comply to arbitrary rules and systems, was that it looked really different. And I wanted to create competition so hospitals could have to behave better. That if home birth and community midwifery was a viable, robust option in this country, hospitals would treat people better and then we would have better outcomes across the board. Mm.
I love that. Ditto to both of you. You know, for me, midwifery is also about advocacy. So ensuring that they have choice, that they are empowered to really truly choose the experience that they wish to have and not be forced. Or, you know, there's so many times that we hear that word allow in the maternity care system, and I absolutely hate that. I agree. It's about listening. It's about choice. It's about supporting and offering that guidance and education. And I'm really big on education. I'm trained as an educator as well. So making sure that not only do they know what choices they have, but also understanding those choices and then being able to impact the entire system. My goal is to turn it on its side and change these negative outcomes that we have. And for me, especially in the Black community.
Mm, absolutely. There is certainly a lot of change that needs to happen. And midwives have always been really pushing and leading for that change. And, you know, to your point, Meredith, obviously the Black midwifery community is really, you know, pulling forward and claiming that very loudly that we need to make a change and that we need to have more equity and we need to have better representation so that everyone is receiving care that resonates with them, that comes from people who share their life experiences. And, you know, and I say this as like a straight white woman, a lot of our perinatal healthcare system has been set up to support people like me, but I do not represent all of the people who come in to birth. And so many of our hospital systems are really set up in very, very narrow minded people. And for people who aren't straight, who aren't white, who aren't having a super planned pregnancy, for all sorts of different factors that come into our lives, we just need to do better in terms of supporting everyone and providing what they actually want and need. So another question we had was, what do you wish you had learned in school but didn't? Like, is there something when you were going through midwifery school that you realize now, like, that would have been the difference maker?
I'm just going to say I'm all ears for this one since I'm still in school. I would love to know, what are some things that y'all did not learn that I can maybe, you know, push for and figure out how we can get it into these programs?
I think the short answer is how to care for people that are not straight white women. You know, I thought at training as a certified professional midwife and training outside the larger healthcare system that I would learn how to do better care for people who are not being served by our current, you know, patriarchal system. And that wasn't true. I just learned different ways to care for straight white women. And my, you know, majority white midwifery class was not adequately given, you know, training on like cultural competency or humility. I was not trained to care for my community of like queer and transgender people. It took a lot of work and a lot like searching out outside of my program to start learning the skills to serve people that are, yeah, to serve like women of color, to serve queer people, to serve transgender families. And I mean, it's still a lifelong learning process. Like I'm never going to get good at it, but yeah, obstetrics and midwifery center straight white bodies. And as long as that's the basis of normal, you know, like women of color are going to continue to die. Like there needs to be a huge shift about what bodies are normal, what bodies are centered in our training. Mm.
So something that I've heard, I haven't experienced it yet, but I have also heard that the NARM exam is written that way. It is centered around serving white women. And that was like the trick, if you will, that I've been told when I'm ready for my NARM, just pretend like I'm answering it as a white woman, which isn't fair because I'm not. And my clients are probably not going to be either. So,
yeah, I think that's true. I think, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting that, you know, you guys have, you know, pointed out the lack of cultural diversity in your training. I think what stands out to me most is, you know, certainly being a Black woman, this is my baseline, you know, this is my norm. I am adjusted to nothing being, the standard not being created based on me. So it's interesting, like when I think about, you know, like, oh, did I get that sort of training in midwifery school or nursing school or, you know, and I remember having cultural diversity classes, but for me, it did not stand out because I already knew that these were things that I needed to do. So I don't know that I felt like I was lacking that stuff. Mm-hmm. I was always grateful for those cultural diversity classes because I would be like, yes, people who don't look like me need to hear this. Yes, I hope they are taking this in. I hope they are absorbing it. But it is more than just taking a class or two. It is more than just, you know, talking about how we impact change to decrease the gap in health when it comes to race disparities. It is about social change. It's about things that have been ingrained in our system since the beginning of time. It is about forcing people to recognize their privilege and forcing people somehow to see things that they take for granted are the things that Black and brown people are dealing with on a regular basis. So as far as like, you know, lacking, you know, that aspect of my education, I would say, you know, it probably wasn't as present as it should have been. But in general, like, gosh, man, y'all, I went to Frontier Nursing University. They have a phenomenal midwifery program. Like I felt so complete there. I felt so whole and I felt so validated. And it was like I suddenly was not alone in the way that I thought women should be treated and the way I thought birth should happen. I was no longer this crazy nurse. I was, no, that is, you are smart and that is what we should be doing, person. So
as a nurse, obviously there is, like, especially working in mostly hospital systems, there is that kind of that othering that happens if you're working outside of that system. And so it's interesting how, you know, within midwifery then that started to feel like that was, that there's a shift happening, that is more normal, that what are the expectations around birth, that they are, you know, they are different than obviously the medical model. I wonder, so Mary, you just have started, you know, your CPM program. What led you to choose that route? What led you to choose the school you're going with?
So that's a really great question. My original plan was to become a CNM. Then I had some conversations with some friends, some other birth worker friends, one in particular who is planning to become a CPM. And she and I just kind of talked through some different things. And I had just the track that I'm on and kind of what I think I really want to do is home birth as well. And so I felt like if I were to go the CNM route, that I may have to do some untraining and that I wanted to kind of get into practicing and not really have to untrain my brain with the medical model. And that may not be true. This was just where I was in my thinking. But I really wanted to just go straight into the like community-based midwife, home birth midwifery care. And that's just sort of it felt more right for me. But I can also say that I absolutely love and appreciate our nurse midwives as well, because I've worked with several in the hospital as a doula, and, you know, there is a need for every type of midwife. And so I'm grateful that, you know, that path is available for people to choose what's going to fit best with how they want to practice and the clientele that they want to serve. Absolutely. So, you know, my hope is that as a home birth midwife, if we do have to transfer, then I can find somebody to transfer to that appreciates midwifery care, that understands midwifery care and is operating out of that model as well. That was, I guess that's probably the best way to describe my path to it, is just doing the research and then seeing what felt right for me.
Yeah, I know for a lot of people, and I know it's interesting. I know a couple of nurses who chose not to go CNM path, even though they already had a nursing degree, and they chose to be CPMs because they wanted to have that kind of that experience of providing more community-based, you know, home birth care, which can certainly happen. And there are, you know, nurse midwives who do that as well. Just the different, you know, training piece of it that goes into it. And I love your point. Obviously, collaboration, like that is, you know, that's our whole game. That's what we want to see more of. So absolutely, we need more midwives going down any path to be all over the healthcare system. Yeah. So that
And that's not to say that at some point in time in the future that I don't end up with a nursing degree or, you know, advanced practice, depending on what the future holds. I don't know what that is. And so I have some really big goals and big plans. And so they open up different avenues for me to legally be able to do the things that I'm trying to do. So we'll just have to see.
Yeah. The legality certainly keep getting in the way. And that's hopefully we're going to keep pushing through on that issue as well. I do. I don't know if you want to speak to that a little bit, just while we're mentioning it, like, so in terms of pandemic changes, so one thing I've seen is obviously a bigger push for midwives to have access and for CPMs to be able to practice. So Ray, can you speak to that, or any of you all, about kind of like, have you actually seen much traction really happen with any of that and kind of permanent changes?
Yeah. So there was a number of, so maybe a little bit of context. So certified professional midwives are currently licensed in 33 states, right? Meredith, you know, that might be 35 right now. It's a qualification that's existed since the early 90s, and it's direct entry midwives. And there are other states like Pennsylvania, where I practice, where there's like a statute saying that we should be regulated, that never regulated us. There's places that it's illegal and midwives get prosecuted. And at the beginning of the pandemic, there was this very intense and profound surge towards folks wanting to leave the hospital and have a home birth, whether it's because of fear of COVID or new hospital restrictions or the risk benefit between home and hospital changing. And, you know, like myself and every other midwife I know, phones were like ringing off the hook, and I was on the phone for like hours a day, and yeah, had more interviews in like a 2-week period than I had like that year. And we tried to manage the volume, and also we're trying to figure out how we can just create better access. So New York is the only place that actually got a bill through. So there was an emergency order that CPMs who had licenses in other states could practice in New York, and then it got extended. And that's currently in place. And Pennsylvania, we also tried to do the same thing, but it did not go through. So we are still the same legal stature that we are, which means we can't bill Medicaid, which means the ability to leave the hospital system has been... yeah, is limited to people who have the funds to cover the cost of a home birth. So what then landed up happening in Pennsylvania is that myself and Asasi Muhammad and a few other midwives decided to organize a birth fund to do births at our cost, and then give grants to people who are Black women on Medicaid to be able to access home birth. And ours fund was really successful. We raised $50,000 from the last like 4 months. We're able to give 22 people grants for home birth. And this also got other funds started. So there's at least 12 funds now that I know of throughout the country that are also granting like Black women on Medicaid, the funds to partially or fully cover the cost of a home birth care so they can leave the hospital during the pandemic. So that's been a really interesting, cool community response to pandemic, and also like, but is like a band-aid. It's not systemic change that increases access.
Ooh, so this is the next good one. So what's your favorite thing to help folks with other than birth?
For me, it's education. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be about birth. It's just, like I said, I'm an educator at heart. And so I just like to learn new things. And so anything that anybody wants to learn about, I'm like, yeah, let's go find out more information about that. I'm all for it. So just helping figure things out, whether that's, you know, something that's just personal, or if it is, you know, more on like that, like business level, or within their profession, or even just like fun facts. just exploring different topics.
That's great.
My 100% most favorite thing is girl talk in the clinic. Let me tell you, hands down, those GYN or antepartum visits. Like, I love having women come into the office and chit-chatting about whatever it is, like whether she is concerned about this weird discharge, her itchy vagina, something on her boob, her period being all over the place, or I haven't had a period in a year or two or three or five. I've seen that. I love it. I love when I get, you know, my 80-year-old patients coming in who want to have sex talk with me. I like, it just brings me complete joy. And it is one of those things where, because I love birth so much, you know, I started off as an L&D nurse and I love birth so much. I just thought, how am I ever going to do this thing in the clinic? But I'm a talker. And so women talk and they come in and we have girl talk for 9 hours pretty much. And so that is the most favorite thing that I love to do. I love it so much. And I also love being able to tell women that their bodies are normal and to not be ashamed of their bodies. And I love being able to counsel them about ways to make themselves better, whatever that means for them, you know. And by better, I mean health-wise, you know. But yeah, it's the girl talk in the clinic. That's my favorite. It's where you get to know people, you know, right, and establish those relationships and that trust.
Yeah, that relational piece of midwifery. It's awesome.
I think my non-baby catching favorite thing is helping people get pregnant. I do IURs, intrauterine inseminations, in people's homes. And it's like this really sweet, nervous, intimate experience. And, you know, I love that I can help queer families and single parents by choice, like, get pregnant in their own bed. And that feels really important. And then also, like, really cool to, like, get texts and photos of, like, babies that, yeah, I was a part of helping. Yeah. Great.
Yeah. It's beautiful. I love that. That is, can you speak to a little bit, not to get like too into details, but, you know, how many, I guess not that it has to be quantity, but like, do you see pushes towards that in terms of more like home-based, outside of the fertility clinics? Like, I know you do that work. I don't know that many other people who do that, who offer that. Like, is that growing, you know, more?
I think it's kind of growing as a movement with like home birth midwives or midwives with small practices that are doing this for folks. You know, IUI is a very simple procedure. And the thing that we're doing to help facilitate home IUI is fertility awareness counseling. And it's just like an extra level of doing fertility awareness counseling because you need really good timing because sperm is really expensive. But yeah, I think it's like happening in more and more cities, but like my practice is the only one who's doing it kind of like in, you know, like 100-mile radius at least, if not more, which is, yeah, not okay. Like, there's just not enough options, and fertility clinics are designed around the needs of straight people. And so queer people often, or single parents, end up getting like more tests and more intervention than they necessarily need or desire, because the system is not set up for our bodies and our families. And so it's like nice to provide an alternative for folks that want a less medicalized experience to conception.
Just thinking in my head about like, what are the, you know, like, what are the steps that can get put into place? Like, dude, that's something, did you train like specifically for that? Like, is that something that any, you know, any CPM or any, you know, nurse, midwife, home birth provider could step into?
I think so. I mean, I think queer competency is like first and foremost. And if you're not a part of the community, or being a part of the queer community is not competency, there's still more to learn. And then, you know, the actual logistics of IUI are incredibly simple. I was so fortunate to train at a birth center that had a queer midwife who started an IUI program, and to also do apprenticeship with a transgender midwife who's also a naturopath who's doing some queer conception work. And that kind of gave me the foundation I needed to be able to start this part of my practice. But preconception is absolutely in the midwife's scope of practice, you know, and if you can do a pap smear, you can do an IUI. Just, I think 90% of, fertility and IUI care is being really good at fertility awareness and answering questions about sperm.
Sweet. Yay. That's awesome.
A little bit jealous. do that.
Yeah. I have, like, before the pandemic, I was working on creating an IUI for midwives class, and then the pandemic happened and that plan kind of went somewhere, and it's like in the back burner. I'm like, I'm going to come back and do this and make this happen. So, like, everyone can have a midwife who can, like, get them pregnant in their home. Yeah. Or just have access to, like, the midwifery model of care for this intimate life experience.
So that, and that, it talks about, that leads to, one of those things, like the legalities in Kentucky, that's not something that we have in our scope of practice right now. So there's still more work to be done to be able to really broaden what we can do as far as well woman care. And then, you know, being able to offer a service like that is amazing.
Incredible. I did want to just kind of backtrack a little bit because I wanted to put a spotlight on something Meredith said when she was talking about reflecting about which route to take in midwifery and being concerned about, oh man, the possibility of becoming over-medicalized as a midwife. And what I want to say to you, and hopefully to any other woman who is out there listening, is that midwifery is in your heart. It is. It's who you are. It is in your heart. And you will 100% be able to make the distinction between when I need to intervene and when I do not. It will tell you, I never had those thoughts and those challenges, those concerns. And I know plenty of nurse midwives who do home births. I am a crunchy, hippie midwife. Oh my goodness. But if I need to practice medicine, I am serious about it. Like, I had my last baby at home with a CPM, like, because I love and believe in what we do. I love it so much. And I trust birth. I trust birth. And so I think a lot of the physicians that I've worked with, even midwives that I worked with, when they find out that I had a home birth with a CPM, they're like, what? I'm like, what? Like, that does not determine competency. I know so many certified nurse midwives and physicians who should not be practicing medicine at all. And it is about what you know. It's about what you trust. It's about your heart, and it's about what your intentions are. So if at any time in your life you decide, you know what, I want to become a nurse midwife, I want to get my doctor's, whatever it is, it doesn't mean that you have to let go of the core at all. It does not mean that. I would probably say, even in my clinical practice, 90% of what I do to treat people or intervene is counseling and education. It is rare that I am writing a prescription for anything. It is even rarer that I am writing referrals, because I manage it. And most of the time, it's just really going through their history and saying, hey, you know what? These are all the things that are probably contributing to that. So let's try this first, you know? So
yeah,
what's in here will never change. That's doesn't matter how many letters behind your name.
Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
I hope there are others listening, because that's, I think that's really key. Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. So I have another question for you, kind of switching gears. So do you have a routine practice, something you do after a birth that helps you kind of like process or review it? And does that change if you're dealing with like a difficult birth or a difficult outcome?
I mean, I now have all these COVID protocols.
Oh gosh.
You know, like when I'm leaving a birth, I have to like wipe down everything I touch, like every alcohol swab gets wiped down before it goes in my bag. Then I have to wipe down all my bags, like right as I leave a house, I'm putting them in my car, and I'm like sitting on a towel in my car that like now lives in my car. So then I can get home, take off everything that, you know, I've been wearing, sani wipe, my phone and my keys, and immediately take a hot shower. And then I get to touch things in my house or eat something. And so that's a new routine. Yeah. I think before this, you know, I would like I think there are times that I'd like just kind of, you know, would go to a birth and be like, okay, it's 11 a.m. Like go do the rest of your appointments. And then you get to go take care of yourself. And other times where I got to be like slow and sleepy and just let the experience integrate a little
bit. Yes.
which is more ideal, but, you know, I'm in a solo practice and sometimes, you know, you just have to work until you're done. Yeah. And I think with like hard or challenging births, I'm really feel so fortunate to have a midwifery community, both close and far. You know, I, you know, call midwives all of the time. I'm on the phone with midwives. I'm processing my experiences and learning from theirs. And, you know, in our midwifery community, peer review is a part of the standard of care, which means like when I have a complication or someone transfers out of care, I go through the chart with like a group of midwives where we've all signed, you know, a confidentiality agreement and like go through my chart from start to finish and what I did and then learn from others, like, and get feedback about what I could have done better or experiences other people have had. And so, yeah, every challenging experience can also be an opportunity to learn and be a better midwife.
Probably one thing that I do, excuse me, is reflect. Frontier University, let me tell you guys, for 4.5 years, all they made us do was reflect. I was reflected out. They had to be deep, thoughtful reflections. And I now realize that the purpose behind that was to ensure that I stayed honest, to increase my self-awareness, and to grow and learn. It's easy to reflect on those beautiful experiences. It's so easy. We just want to bask in that glow, that energy, because it fuels you. It is what feeds your soul to keep you going to the next birth and the next experience. It's the ones that are really traumatic that we don't want to think about. We try to put out of our minds. So after every birth experience, I always reflect, and certainly on the ones that were traumatic, and there is lots of crying, lots of self-doubt, lots of regrets, all the what ifs, maybe I should have done this, maybe if I had done that. And we also go through a very intensive peer review process. We did something called morbidity and mortality meetings once a month. And during those meetings, there are certain criteria for things that had to be discussed. And so whenever you had an experience that met those criteria, you had to present the case in front of a group of your peers. This would be midwives, PA students, family medicine physicians, obstetricians. And then you review the literature on it. You reflect on the things that did not go well, how those things could have been dealt with better. And if it is a sentinel event, then it goes to a medical panel review board to determine whether or not you met the standard of care and you practice within evidence. And if those things that you did contributed directly to that or could have been prevented at all. And so it is definitely a humbling experience. I've had to present one really serious case on my behalf, and it still haunts me, even though I was found not to be negligent. I did all the things right, but it's a reminder that you are not in control. You do not have the power to make everything right, but you have to be watchful. You have to be watchful, and you have to be confident and competent enough to know that this is no longer normal. This is becoming atypical. Even though we're still safe, this isn't right anymore. Now you need to be medically managed, because when a mom loses her life, when a baby loses its life, you can't come back from that. Like, it stays with you forever. It stays with you forever and ever and ever, even if you did everything right.
So for me, just having that safe group to be able to talk things through and just really being able to process is really helpful. And then outside of that, something that I do for my own self-care is just finding a nice place to hike. I love nature. I love finding different views and being able to just really experience everything that God has created. And so that is another way that helps me process. So if there's something that is pretty challenging or difficult that I've experienced, then trying to use nature therapy to cleanse my mind.
Yeah. Those are all good ideas. I think obviously having that community, that support that you can, that you look in and reflect and like you said, to learn and to grow, because none of us ever, we've never arrived. You know, we always keep learning and thinking of different ways that we can just keep pushing forward. And then, so the last question, and we've had a chance to touch on this a little bit. So for National Midwifery Week, the slogan for this year is Midwives for Equity. And so I just kind of wanted to see, like, you know, what does that mean for you? How do you feel like you're going to kind of living that out as you kind of work through your day-to-day and as you're kind of doing your bigger kind of planning for what comes next?
I definitely think a lot about how, you know, while home birth has traditionally been in the hands of midwives of color, the modern home birth movement in the United States has been white, and we're majority white. And if I'm not challenging the kind of current paradigm of how care is delivered, and who gets to access these like sweet, lovely water births, and creating other avenues to access midwifery care, whether it's financial or social or otherwise, then I'm reinforcing the same systems of oppression. And yeah, it's not easy. And I don't think I necessarily, you know, do a great job every day, but I think I'm really excited to be in a midwifery community that's like prioritizes lifting up Black and brown birthing people and lifting up queer birthing people and trans birthing people and trying to like find a way forward. And I think those are kind of the voices I want to continue to listen to and like work towards.
I think that's awesome. For me, part of me being in midwifery school and becoming a midwife, I think is part of that contribution for me. I not only want to be a part of this community, but then, you know, once I have more experience and I feel confident in doing so, being able to educate others and kind of, you know, being a preceptor, being an educator, and being able to train up the future generations of midwives and being able to bring awareness back to the roots of midwifery, I think is really important. You know, like you said, it's right now home birth is pretty typically white, and that's not where our history comes from. So just getting back in touch and bringing awareness so that, again, when we talk about equity, that everyone who seeks out this system of care has access. I think access is extremely important. It's crucial that no matter your socioeconomic status, your race, your, you know, how you identify, none of those things should matter. We are all people, and we deserve to be treated as such. And we deserve the kind of quality care that we're seeking.
For me, this year has been so pivotal in regards to decreasing disparity and improving equity amongst all individuals. And for me, it is ensuring that I am vocal when I need to be, and I'm silent when I need to be. And I make it a point in my practice to always tell women when I open the space and I introduce myself, I tell every last one of them, this is a safe space. I'm so glad that you are here. Thank you for letting me offer to serve you. You can tell me and share anything with me. There is absolutely zero judgment in this space. And I flat out say, depending on what it is that they're for, I'm like, I don't care who you're sleeping with. I don't care what STI you have. I am not here to judge you at all. This is Girl Talk. I am here to serve you. And I want you to be honest so that I can protect you and help you. And so that is how I ensure equity. You know, I let my families know that I do not care where you come from. None of those things matter. What matters is my ability to serve you in a way that is respectful and that is meaningful, and in a way that you feel empowered and validated, period. And I have zero tolerance for it. when it comes to other people misbehaving. So those are the times where I talk about speaking up. I have zero tolerance for people who treat other people poorly, and I will call you out directly. I'm not mean about it, but I will be direct and let you know that's not acceptable. I am not comfortable with you speaking that way in my presence or around the people that are in my space. So.
Those are also good. I am just struck. There is obviously, there's just so much inequity in our system right now. And I am so excited for everything that is happening in terms of just the greater awareness that is coming. Obviously, this is not like a new issue, but I'm glad that it's receiving at least more play in the bigger world out there. I'm glad the bigger institutions are talking about it, that it's, that, you know, equity is getting onto the hashtag scene, and that it's, you know, at least there is more discourse happening around that as we work on the, you know, both individual issues that we all can address, you know, in our lives, in our communities, and then obviously these bigger systemic structural issues that, you know, are behind so much of it. And, you know, midwives are, they're there to be with people, whatever they need, whatever, you know, whatever their background is, whatever their gender is, whatever their race is, in all the ways that, you know, all the ways we identify as these complex human beings that cannot be just put into a little box. And so I'm really excited to see what keeps pushing forward for, and I'm really grateful for the work that all of you do every day to keep pushing for that and striving to do better in your own practice and helping everyone else in theirs to also grow and keep making birth better. So thank you all so much for like sharing your time with us today and sharing of yourselves. Is there anything else you guys wanted to add before we close out?
I would just like to say, I would love to stay connected with both of you. I would love to learn from each of you. You are phenomenal people, and I know that I could benefit greatly and that can impact those that I serve as well.
All about collaboration. Ray said earlier how she talks with midwives every single day. Mm-hmm. Literally every single day. Y'all, I just got a text from one of my girlfriends. She's actually a family nurse practitioner. She's like, I need to do a phone consult with you about, you know, an OB patient. And like, this is what it is. Like, we are so much better when we are together. And we can learn so much from each other because we all offer something that is so important, so powerful. And I am an advocate for all midwives. I am an advocate for anybody who is practicing medicine, practicing safely, offering incredible support to women and families. Like, that is what I love. And so to be surrounded by women who all fighting for that same thing, it's magic. It's just magic.
Yeah. And Meredith, I'm so excited that you're joining the CPM community. Like, we need you as a midwife. We need more Black midwives. Yes. We need more Black CPMs who are like leading the home birth movement where it should go. And, you know, like, we cannot do this work without nurse midwives and awesome labor and delivery nurses. You know, if I didn't have nurse midwives in the hospital that I could text and consult with and really trust that when I transfer my clients, I'm transferring them into good hands. Like, I couldn't do my job. And, or even just the times where I've gone to the hospital after a super long birth and I see a nurse friend that I know who like greets me and my client and like gives us the energy to like get through it. It, you know, this work should happen in community and in collaboration. And that's what leads to good outcomes. And I'm so excited to be here with all of you celebrating National Midwifery Week and for everything that's going to come in the future as we work to change birth in the U.S.
Tell you, I just want to say one more thing. I'm sorry. I like start talking about birth and midwifery and I just get all in my feelings. But I remember like when I was planning my home birth, it was a few CNMs I worked with and they all referred me to the CPM practice because that is the home birth practice that all of the midwives used in Atlanta. And I will tell you, I learned so much more about, because I thought I was granola. I had some issues. And I learned so much more about practicing the pause and being still and being patient and just listening. My appointments were an hour long, and probably we spent 45 minutes with me just laying on the couch and her talking to me and humanizing me. And she made me feel so empowered about my ability. Like it was all the things that I wanted, but I did not have birth fear. Like, I was not afraid to birth my fourth baby at home without an IV, GPS positive, no antibiotics, no Pitocin. I was not afraid of any of that. You know, she just reminded me, you know, she was like, Angel, look at the evidence. Think about it. Look at the evidence. And you decide. And I was like, I trust you. And that was it. And I had a beautiful birth with no issues. And it was everything that I wanted. And she reminded me to always be that way in births, even in the hospital. Okay, I'm done. No more.
Yeah, well, obviously I could sit here and talk to y'all all day because I do. I value so much of the spirit and the passion that you bring to all of this and to the way that we connect with each other and connect with those in our care. So I really appreciate you all. Thank you. Happy National Midwifery Week. Enjoy your celebration with whatever would feel good.
Bye.
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 Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in. We love to talk birth and would love to talk about it with you. Please join the conversation by finding us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. We're Your Birth Partners on all platforms. You can check out our show notes this week for information if you're interested in becoming a midwife and want to understand education pathways. We'll be sharing some resources about finding a midwife in your area that meets your needs. And we'd really love to hear from you. What struck you during this conversation? What was something that you learned or that made you think a little bit harder? We'd love to hear about your experiences as a midwife or accessing midwifery care as we all work to grow and make birth better. Till next time.